الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين We thank Allah and we praise Allah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we praise Allah for the bounty and the favor that He has given to us, that there has passed so many years now from the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Over 1400 years have passed, but yet in this era and this time of ours, we are fortunate to have a deen which was preached exactly as it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came approximately 570 to 571 years after the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But based on the teachings of the Holy Quran and based on the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is very, very clear that within that short space of time of 500 years, the entire deen of Isa alayhi salam was already changed. And by the time Isa alayhi salam came after Musa alayhi salam, the deen of Musa alayhi salam was already changed. From the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until now, it's over 1,000 years. But yet the deen of Allah, which is known as Al-Islam, is still in its pristine purity. It has not been changed. And it is as accurate as it was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is from Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken up the responsibility to protect and preserve the deen. He has taken up the responsibility to protect and to preserve the deen, this last deen. Accordingly, the deen or the religions and the ways that were given to the previous prophets, the security of that deen, the responsibility of that deen at that time was placed upon the shoulders of the ulamas of that religion. The ulamas of Bani Israel, the ulamas from the disciples of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, this was placed on their shoulders. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has himself said in the Quran, that they were entrusted with the job of carrying out and carrying further that which they have received from their anbiyas. But for the deen of Islam, Allah himself says in the Quran, we have revealed it, we have sent it down, and we shall be its protectors. Subhanallah. But as I was explaining last week, when shaitan cannot work in one way, he will choose another way. And when he was able to paint a picture and to adorn the speeches, which in the Quran is known as Zukruful Qawl, adorning and beautifying the speeches to change the deen of the past people and the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, he could not have done that to Islam, because the responsibility to protect, to preserve, and to carry it out until the day of judgment was taken up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he could not interfere with that. But yet, he changed his colors and pictures and started to move in different ways. And so we have many different things creeping in into the deen of Allah. And so we have many deviations caused by many people. And we have explanations and interpretations that are given which are very, very far away from that which came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the topic we had started last week, and it is a type of fitna, as we say, that people without knowledge, they are speaking about things and they are creating a lot of mischief. Mischief creates disharmony. It creates disunity. And the entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was once upon a time united and very strong, are now broken apart in different sections and different groups. And that is what we have reached today. It is important for you and I to know that which is good, the teachings which are connected to that which has been established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that in knowing that, you and I will protect ourselves and we will not fall prey and we will not fall victims to statements and ideologies that are being rumored around and being preached and practiced and taught all around the place. Knowledge is our weapon for every single thing. This is why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that alimun wahidun ashadu ala shaitani min alfi abidin, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. One scholar of Islam is more difficult and harsh on shaitan than 1,000 worshippers who are ignorant, meaning they do not have knowledge, they do not possess knowledge, so they can be easily swayed away in any direction. They can be easily moved and diverted in a direction which works on their emotions. Without any knowledge. This is why it is very important for us to understand and to learn. Very, very important to learn. When we learn, then we shall speak. And when we learn, we will know what to do, what is right and what is not right. Last week, we ended off on the topic of bid'ah, that portion. At that point where we started to speak about what is bid'ah, a word that is commonly used. And without any exaggeration, there is extremism even in the usage of the word bid'ah today, which we know. For every single thing, bid'ah. What is this bid'ah about? Who is this new person called bid'ah? What is this bid'ah about? Very, very important. But as I mentioned last week, that bid'ah is an opposite to the word called sunnah. Something is either sunnah or khilafu sunnah. Opposing the sunnah, the word bid'ah is used. So if we have to understand what is bid'ah, and when we can use the word bid'ah, and for what we can use the word bid'ah, and what things will take the ruling of bid'ah, we can only do that properly if we understand what is sunnah. Our misunderstanding of sunnah drives us to use remarks which are not authentic and which are not true. Sometimes we say the tongue is something that whatever it says, Allah will take us into account for that. And if intentionally or unintentionally a person uses his tongue to make an allegation in deen which is not the truth, Allah will take him to task for that. If something is not a bid'ah and you say it is bid'ah, if the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not condemn an action and an individual say, yes, he did condemn an action. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention anything in any form or the other that such an action is disliked, and a person, based on his understanding, he says it is disliked, it is an allegation against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason, in order to protect the ulum of Islam, and in order to protect the knowledge of Islam, and in order to protect that which has been established as accurate, as pure, and as good, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use remarks as man fassara al-Qur'ana bi ra'yihi fa asaba faqad akhta'a. Whosoever gives his opinion about the Quran, even though it may conform and coincide with that which is the truth, he has committed a grave mistake. It is totally haram to put your opinion in the Quran, in the book of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kadhiba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu fin nari." Whosoever ties a lie upon me, whosoever says a lie upon me, intentionally let him make his abode in the fire of Jahannam. Man qala ma lam aqul, whosoever says what I did not say, let his resting place and abode be Jahannam. So that you and I, when we hear words of this nature, we will be very scared in saying things which we have no knowledge about. We will refrain from the idea of, I think this verse means so and so, and I think the hadith means so and so. But many people, na'uzubillah, they think and they believe. A person took it to a scholar, this hadith, and says that this hadith is saying you cannot say anything which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mean. You cannot say anything which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say. He says, no problem, you can give your own commentary on the hadith as you like. This is an authentic hadith reported by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. It's a very dangerous thing. And as long as people continue to carry out the pattern which was established by the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of teaching and learning from one to the other one, knowledge was protected, the deen was protected, everything was protected. And as soon as it went out of that, then you started to have the distortions and the deviations and the new ideologies and new theories and the new interpretations and explanations in the deen, which started to go into the hearts of people, penetrate the ummah, and people became disunited, and people now started to lose track of what was it. In the very early period of Islam, when Islam started to move from place to place, Islam entered the regions of all the nearby countries. And at that time, when the many, many more empires started to fall into Islam, many of the Arab scholars started to translate the Greek philosophy from the original Greek language into the Arabic language. Muslims started to go into it. Muslims started to study Greek philosophy. Muslims started to get involved in it. Muslims started to go deep into it. The scholars, upright scholars of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at, said at that time, Wallah, had it not been for Aqali, had it not been for Dalailun, Sama'iyya, had it not been for those proofs and evidence in Sharia which were heard by the ears of the Sahabas, we would have gone astray. Because it started to teach people to use their logics and reasoning and brain to sort out things. Many Muslims started to use philosophy, psychology and mantiq to establish and to go against certain principles which were firmly established in Islam. Whether you will see Allah in the hereafter or not, whether there is azab in the qabr, the belief in qadr, the belief in predestination, all many different beliefs. And this is how the deviation started. And many of the deviated sects became deviated because of their leaning towards a lot of the Greek philosophy in the early period of Islam. That is what happened. So when people started to move out and interact and gain all this knowledge, it started to make them deviate. So it is extremely important that we know the things. We know the things that are connected to our deen. We understand very well that when this word bid'ah is used, what it implies. What do we understand from it? But as I said, we need to recognize and understand sunnah. Sunnah. It is a word that is very common on our tongue. Every day, in every word we say, sometimes we say sunnah, sunnah. This is a sunnah, that is a sunnah. Are you opposing sunnah? What is the sunnah? It's a common part of our language, the usage of the word sunnah. Sunnah, literally, the word comes from sin and to noon, sanna ya sunnu. It means lughatan, literally, dictionary meaning, a pathway. Sunnah, a pathway, a course. Sanna al ma. A course of water. The Arabs normally use that word. And in the Sharia, the meaning, there is always a technical and a literal meaning for every single word that is used in the Sharia. There is always a word that has an an original and literal meaning. When you open an Arabic dictionary, that is what you're going to see. But the question, is that the word and the meaning which is used in the Sharia? In the deen, if you look at the word salat, salat means hamd, it means praises. Salat also means dua, a way to praise Allah. It means gratitude, many different meanings, the word salat. But when you and I say to do or perform salat, what comes to our mind? What is this salat with respect to the meaning given in the Sharia? Zakat also has a literal meaning, to grow. Zakat also comes from the root word to purify. But when you and I say that we have to give zakat, what is that, does it mean? We have to grow? Does it mean that we have to purify? What does it mean? Zakat has a special Sharia meaning. That whenever it is said, it only goes towards that meaning and nothing else. Hajja yahujju, qasada yaqsudu, an intention. Hajjajtu, yani qasadtu, I intended something. Hajj means hajja, it means to intend. But when you and I say a person must go for hajj, what is our understanding? What do? Do we make an intention? No. The pilgrimage to the house of Allah comes to our mind. That is the Sharia meaning. An intention to go towards the house of Allah. So therefore, sunnah, it means a pathway, a course, a way, a manner, a practice. And in the Sharia, generally, the word sunnah refers to at-tariqatul maslukatu fid din. It is a path which is adopted, a path which is walked upon, a path which is established in deen. That is what sunnah means. But the word sunnah has been used by many different people of the past. And there are many different scholars. There are scholars whose main objective and their entire life was in the field of hadith, collecting hadith, learning hadith, teaching hadith. There were others who were in the field of fiqh, usulul fiqh. There were others who were connected to Sharia, implementation of the Sharia, in-depth knowledge of the Sharia, tafsir, tariq, biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, history. So therefore, these scholars would use the word sunnah to have a different meaning for their own selves. I want you to understand this discourse very well, because one leads to the other one. Pay particular attention. According to the muhaddithin and the scholars of hadith, and according to the usuliyin, those scholars of fiqh, usul al-fiqh, they have given the definition of sunnah. What is a sunnah? When you and I say sunnah, what is sunnah? They say a sunnah to ma jaa anin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those things which comes from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min aqwalihi, from his statements, wa af'alihi, and his actions, wa taqririhi, and his approval, disapproval, his consent, when he does not give consent, wa bahamma bifi'lihi, and whatever he intended to do but did not do it, that also falls into sunnah, as Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani has mentioned in his famous book Fathul Bari. Basically, that is what the muhaddithin will normally use as sunnah. In fact, the early scholars of hadith, which is known, the scholars mutaqaddimin min al-muhaddithin, the earliest scholars of the muhaddithin, they say a sunnah is that action which refers to the statement, the qawl in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وفعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the action of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and سكوته, and also his silence. Sunnah also refers to his silence. Then they say وعلى أقوال الصحابة وأفعالهم, and the word sunnah also refers to the statements of the Sahabas and also the actions of the Sahabas. So this is what sunnah is. They will take sunnah to mean. So when you say something is a sunnah, it refers to something which is coming from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You refer to something which is coming from the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Even if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do it, but the Sahabas did it, in the terms used by the scholars of hadith, the word sunnah is also used for that. It's also used for that. So in this manner, whenever we hear the word sunnah, whenever a muhaddis uses the word of sunnah, whenever a scholar of hadith uses the word sunnah, he will refer to any action, any statement that is established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahabas. He says that is sunnah. That is sunnah. So it will be against the teachings that the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, something is evident from their action or their statement which can be used with the word sunnah, but because the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do it or did not say it, someone says this is bid'ah. This is not sunnah. It is very, very wrong to do that. The fuqaha, this is what, so in this way, you and I could say, it is evident from the sunnah, for example, evident from the sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform 4 rakats at fajr time. 2 sunnat and 2 farz. Although we are speaking about farz, we can use the word sunnah in the context that we are simply saying this is evident from his teachings. It is evident from his teachings. So whenever the muhaddisin use that word, thabata fi sunnati wa sunnatu tadullu alayhi, the sunnah indicates to it, this is what it means. The fuqaha and the scholars of fiqh, however, use the word sunnah differently. They use the word sunnah to be one ruling from among the 5 rulings. Farz, wajib, sunnah, then we have makruh and haram. 5 rulings in the Sharia. And sunnah is one of these what? Rulings. This is why the fuqaha have stated, as sunnatu, what is sunnah? They say, at-tariqatu al-maslukatu fi al-deen, it is an established path in Islam, min ghayri iftiradhin, without it being farz. It is not farz. So an action which is established in Islam and it is not farz and it is not wajib, then they will call that sunnah. So therefore in this context, you may say the Isha Salat has a 4 sunnah and a 4 farz. So when you speak about 4 sunnah, you are not referring to what? General teachings. You are referring to a ruling. So the first 4, the question is it farz or is it sunnah? You will say sunnah, referring to a ruling of the Sharia. A ruling of the Sharia. This is how the fuqaha will use it. So whenever the fuqaha uses that word, this is what they will imply and this is what they will refer to. Now, in the urf of the Sharia, generally speaking, in the Sharia itself, the common definition and understanding of the word sunnah, the common definition of the word sunnah, it is that sunnah refers to the statements, the actions and the beliefs which are established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and are also established from the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This is what sunnah means. That what? Fi urf al-shar'i, according to the custom and the norm of the Sharia, or that which is used in the Sharia generally. So whenever people are speaking about, is this opposing the sunnah? Is that a sunnah? Is that evident in sunnah? You are not upholding the sunnah. You are not practicing according to the sunnah. This is the meaning they are speaking about. This is the meaning they are speaking about. Because if a person doesn't practice a thing, you can't refer to a sunnah salah, to a sunnah action. What you are actually implying is you are going against the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever you say a man is opposing the sunnah. So this definition of sunnah is what is generally used by everyone. That a sunnah, what is sunnah? It is that the statements, the actions and the what? The aqidah and the beliefs which are established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In this regard, the great scholar Hafiz Ibn Rajab Hanbali, follower of the Hanbali Mazhab, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Hafiz Ibn Rajab, many of these names that we use, like Hafiz Ibn Kathir and Hafiz Ibn Rajab, Hafiz Ibn Hajar, Hafiz Badruddin Aini, names that are normally used and are common in our lectures. Hafiz here does not mean a person who is a Hafiz of the Quran. That might be so. These people are already Hafiz of the Quran. But for a muhaddith, for a scholar of hadith, whenever the title of Hafiz is given to a scholar of hadith, it refers to a person who has learned 100,000 hadith by heart with the text and the sanad, the chain of the narrators, 4, 5, or 6, based on how many names are there between them and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the text of the hadith, that is a person who we call a Hafiz of hadith. So when you hear this name, it's not any and anybody. Hafiz, well, we have Hafiz in our midst also. Hafiz recited Quran, so Hafiz, so what? No. Hafiz of hadith is that. And this is a title, a laqab that is given. And a person only becomes that when he earns the title. When he earns the title. Hafiz Ibn Rajab Hanbali is a very, very great scholar. We all know that. And he is a name that many people will refer to. Many people will refer to. Very important point. Among those people who will frequently use the word bid'ah, and among those people who will frequently use the word opposing the sunnah, and they will frequently use the word that you are not upon sunnah, these people, they quote a lot the statements of Hafiz Ibn Rajab Hanbali. Rely a lot upon his work. What he says. While he was explaining the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'ir rashidin," upon you is my sunnah, you have to follow my sunnah, and you must follow the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa. He explains, he says, what is meant here? He says, "As-sunnatu," the sunnah is at-tariq al-masluk. It is that which is established in the deen. The path which is established in the deen, that is known as sunnah. He goes further to say, فَيَشْمُلُ ذَلِكَ, this word sunnah, it includes أَتَمَسُّكَ بِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ هُوَ وَخُلَفَاؤُهُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. The word sunnah would include, the word sunnah will include that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, and it will also include that path which the khulafa are also upon. The four khalifa, khulafa ar-rashidun. He says the word sunnah will also include this meaning, not only for the Rasul, but also the khulafa ar-rashidun. Then he goes further to say, every point that he mentions is very important. He says, وَهَذِهِ هِيَ سُنَّةُ الْكَامِلَةِ. Subhanallah. He says, this is the perfect sunnah. This is the complete sunnah. The complete sunnah is not the attitude is developed, but only the Rasul. Can you prove the Rasul did it? Bas, khatam. No, he didn't do it, so does. It's not sunnah. No. He says, وَهَذِهِ, and this, what I'm mentioning, هِيَ سُنَّةُ الْكَامِلَةِ. It is the complete and perfect sunnah. He goes further to say, وَلِذَلِكَ, and because of this, كَانَ سَلْفُ قَدِيمًا, the Salaf الصَّالِحِينَ and the pious predecessors, from the very beginning, لَا يُطْلِقُونَ إِسْمَ السُنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَى مَا يَشْمُلُ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ. They will never use the word sunnah except when that word includes all that which we have now mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahabas, bin al-i'tiqadat, from their beliefs, wal-af'al, and their actions, wal-aqwal, and their statements. And their statements. So, while we are going through this session, you should pick up what is going on here. Yani, it means that for a person to take a Sahabi's action or to take the actions of Sahaba to call it bid'ah is against the definition of what all the pious predecessors have given on Sunnah. Further than that, the great scholar, renowned scholar Allama Shatibi, in his book which is called Al-Muwafaqat, he says, وَيُطْلَقُ أَيْضًا لَفْزُ السُنَّةِ. He says the word sunnah is also used for what? عَلَمَا عَمِلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّحَابَ. What the Sahabas have also done. The word sunnah is used for that. Al-Muwafaqat is one of the most authentic book in all Usul al-Fiqh. Very great scholar, Allama Shatibi. Renowned, well-accepted book. He says it is used for what the Sahabas did. Then he goes further. Subhanallah. If we pay attention to the definitions and the statements that are being made by our righteous and pious predecessors and our great scholars who have been able to carry out the knowledge from one generation to the other generation, we will understand many things even before we reach the topic of bid'ah. We will be able to focus properly before even we reach that topic. He says the word sunnah is also used for that which the Sahabas did, wujida fil kitabi aw sunnati aw lam yujad. Subhanallah. Whether it is found in the book of Allah or it is found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not, the word is still used for the actions. Even if it is not found in the sunnah of the Prophet, but they did it, the word sunnah is also used for them. Why? What a beautiful statement he says. لِكَوْنِهِ اتِّبَاعًا لِسُنَّةٍ ثَبَتَتْ عِنْدَهُمْ لَمْ تُنْكَلْ إِلَيْنَا. It is so because the reason the word is used for them, sunnah, it is so because they are following a sunnah of the Prophet which was established for them but has not reached us. Just imagine. The Sahabas lived their entire lives with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You tell me, would they know what he consented to and what he did not consent to? Wouldn't they know what he liked and what he disliked? Wouldn't they know how he used to look at things and at what angle he looked at things? Wouldn't they know that sometimes he will love a certain thing and there was no statement, so they didn't narrate a hadith? But they knew very well he loved it. So sometimes a narration is not narrated to us, but the Sahabas in their knowledge who lived their night and days with the Rasul knows what he did, what he did not do. They knew very well what he loved, what he did not love. They knew very well what he encouraged and did not encourage. Because of that sunnah in thabatat indahum, the word sunnah will also be used. They are not misguided, subhanallah, that they will do anything they are pleased to do. Na'uzubillah, no. They will never ever do that. He says, one, because of that, aw ijtihadan mujtami'an alayhi, or they will do it because of an ijtihad, such an ijtihad that has ijma' of all the Sahabas. If one is wrong, all will not be wrong at one time. This is why ijma' of the Sahabas is a hujjat in the Sharia. It is a hujjat in the deen. If you say, okay, this one, that's his opinion, and that one, that is his opinion, and this Ibn Masud's opinion, this Ibn Umar, Achabai, okay, opinion, but all of them will be wrong. Na'uzubillah. They were very conscious of what they did in the deen of Allah. So this is why we have to understand that sunnah, it refers to more than the things we understand it to refer to. And we find ourselves sometimes saying such and such is not a sunnah, and it is coming, and it is used as a sunnah in the books. Sahabas have done it, ijma upon it, bas. So basically, this is what sunnah is about. We understand sunnah, now bid'ah. Bid'ah, the word sunnah and bid'ah are used opposing to each other. You say, fulanun ala al-bid'ah, idha kana yukhalifu sunnah. In the Arabic language, it is mentioned in the books that you will say so-and-so is upon bid'ah when he's opposing the sunnah. Wa fulanun ala sunnah, and so-and-so is upon sunnah, idha wafaqa sunnah an-nabi, when he's conforming to the sunnah that is established. Bid'ah comes from the root word bada'a. Bada'a. Bada'a literally means, the dictionary meaning, bada'a, it means, bada'a bid'a, it means to bring about any new thing. Okay? To bring about any new thing, statement or practice, the like of which did not exist before. That is what bid'a is. To bring about any new thing, the like of which did not exist before. That is bid'a, literally. So therefore, in the Arabic language, the Arabs are famous for saying, if a person is saying something new, which he has never said before, no one said that, he will normally say, abda'atul qawl, I brought a new statement. Or he did something which no one did before, he will say, abda'atul fa'l, I have done a new action, no one did it before. It is with respect to this definition that bid'ah means to bring something in new, the like of which never existed before. We have Allah's quality in the Quran as an innovator. Badi'us samawati wal ard. Allah is the innovator, the originator of the heavens and the earth, because it was never there before and he brought it into existence. It was never there. The heaven was never there. The earth was never there. Who brought it in? Allah. So Allah is badi, the quality of Allah, badi from the word bada'a. It is with this also meaning in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people, مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. The word bid'ah, our ustaz used to translate it as the Prophet saying, I am not a bid'ati rasul. مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. But what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I, in the line of messengers, I am not a new person in that line. This thing about messengership and Rasul and Nabi, that is not emanating from me for the very first time. Ma kuntu bid'a min ar-rusul. I am not the one to start it. It already existed. Anbiyas came to you before. So the concept of anbiyas and mursaleen, prophets and messengers, already existed on the face of the earth. So it's not starting with me. So why blame me for something that you think I am starting? Ma kuntu bid'a min ar-rusul. So with respect to the literal meaning, it goes further to say, like Allama Nawawi has mentioned, Imam Nawawi, al-bid'atu, what is bid'ah? Kullu shay'in umila, every such thing which is practiced upon, ala ghayri mithalin sabaqa, which has no like of it beforehand. Yani before you did it, there was no like of it. So we say the word innovation is used because you have innovated it. You brought it in and it was not there. If we look at the literal meaning, if we look and we take this literal meaning into consideration, that every day we are practicing bid'ah. And our lives are filled with thousands of bid'ah. Because what does bid'ah mean? Every new thing. Look at this masjid. Is it built according to the way the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built it? So it's bid'ah. Did the Rasul put fans in his masjid? That's a new thing, isn't that so? They use jars and jugs to perform wuzu. We have pipes. That's a new thing. Bid'ah means a new thing which never existed. Literally, we are doing bahas and discussion on the literal meaning. Our clothing we wear, they did not wear this. This bid'ah also. They used to ride camels, we ride cars. This is a new thing. So if we take the literal meaning into consideration, then thousands of things will be bid'ah. But can anyone call it a bid'ah? So by that jersey you're wearing is a bid'ah. Ajib. That topi you're wearing is a bid'ah. Ajib. Can we just? No, many things. We also. Each and everything. So therefore, it means, it shows clearly that no one can take the literal meaning of bid'ah into consideration for deen. Because you will be in a lot of trouble. Everyone will be in a lot of trouble. Okay? So therefore, you and I do not say these things, they are bid'ah. So it means that we cannot use the literal meaning for bid'ah. We have to use the shar'i meaning of bid'ah. In the sharia, istilahan, the technical meaning, what is the bid'ah according to the sharia meaning which is condemned in Islam? What is that which is condemned in Islam? The bid'ah which we spoke last week about, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kullu bid'atin dalala. Every bid'ah is a dalala. What type of bid'ah is this? What type of bid'ah is this? Many things we have here, they are not misguidance. They are helping the deen. They are ease and comfort for the musalli. They are benefit to the Muslims. So therefore, they are not misguidance. So we have to take what the sharia meaning into consideration. The shar'i meaning, the meaning that is given in the sharia, the meaning that is used in the sharia, the meaning which is used, and when it is used, it will refer to an action which is condemned, an action which is misguidance, and an action which, if you do, can lead you to hell. That meaning we are looking at. Allama Ibn Hajar, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, has written one definition. Many definitions are given. If you look at the books, you will see many different definitions. But all the definitions basically speak about the one thing, because obviously the meaning of innovating and the meaning of bringing about and the meaning of something new must be there. It's a substance of the shari'i meaning. It has to be part of. Because the sharia meaning is always connected to what? A literal meaning. The lugha meaning is always connected to the islahi meaning. The sharia meaning on the technical term. He says in Fathul Bari, Al-bid'atu ma uhditha ma lam yakun aslun lahu fi shar'i wa lam yakun aslun lahu fi shar'i. He says bid'ah is that thing which is brought about, a new action which is brought about, and it has no source and origin for it in the sharia. Subhanallah, what a beautiful definition. That it is brought about and you can't find any trace for its origin. You cannot find any dalil for its jawaz, any proof, an argument, an evidence for its permissibility and allowance in the deen. That is what bid'ah is known as. In the same manner, Hafiz Ibn Rajab Hanbali, Hafiz, he writes in his book, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. He explains this same thing, which was explained by Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani in a very beautiful manner. He says, al-muradu bil-bid'ati, because bid'ah is being used, subhanallah, in the books, on people's tongues, etc. He says, what is meant by bid'ah? Al-muradu bil-bid'ati ma uhditha, that which is brought about, something new coming in. Bimma la aslalahu fi shar'i yadullu alayhi. He says, it is such things which are brought about, or anything that is brought about, and there is no origin for it in the sharia which will indicate towards its permissibility and allowance. That is what bid'ah is. He says, amma ma kana lahu aslun fi shar'i yadullu alayhi. He says, as for those things which has their traces in the sharia, which has some origin in the sharia, which has some dalil in the sharia, as for those things that can indicate upon it, laysa bi bid'atin, it is not bid'ah at all. It is not bid'ah. So therefore, whenever we use the word bid'ah, the first thing that we have to ask is its essence, its trace, its origin, its dalil, its proof. Can it be connected in sharia or not? Can it be there? Is it there or not? If it is there, he is saying, فَلَيْسَ بِبِدَعَةٍ, that is not bid'ah. How can that be bid'ah? The source is there in the sharia. The origin is there in the sharia. The Prophet ﷺ spoke about certain things, because of the different times that people live in, they may practice the same thing with respect to that which is present among themselves at that time. It's the same ruling, so the traces can be found. So what we are seeing so far, my dear respected brothers and my dear elders and ulama ikram, what we are seeing is a very, very important point is being made here by these scholars. All the definitions lead in the same direction. Once something has an origin, it has a trace, it has its source in the Sharia, okay, then you cannot call it bid'ah. In the definition which we give about sunnah by Allama Shatibi in Al-Muwafaqat, what did he say? He said the word sunnah is also used for what a sahabi or sahabas did. Isn't that so? Because it is either they followed that action because of a sunnah which was evident to them, or because it was ijtihad and they had ijma on it. Unanimous consensus of the sahabas upon a certain point. So therefore, if it is evident, then that whenever that action is indicated, the scholars will say that it is evident min ijma'i sahaba, from the ijma of the sahaba, that is a hujjah. So when that is a hujjah and a dalil for that same thing, you cannot use the word bid'ah, because for bid'ah you must find a trace. The trace is ijma. How can you call the thing bid'ah? You understand? Let's try to understand. Once there is an asal, an origin, I repeat it, you cannot call it bid'ah. What we are seeing here, that it is always being spoken about ma la aslun lahu fi ddin. The word, there is no origin of it in deen. In deen. Now, taking the literal meaning into consideration, connected to the other meaning, it generally, as we have the understanding that they are new things. But here, in the definition, it is always said, what does not have an asal, an origin, a proof, an evidence, a dalil in the deen, in the Sharia. So this indicates to a very, very important point, and it is the most essential point in understanding what is bid'ah and what is not bid'ah. That only those things which are connected to deen and is understood as part of deen and understood to be part of religion, only those things are called bid'ah. Nothing else. Nothing else. This is established from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa raddun." Whosoever brings about and innovates in this affair of ours in mind. Whosoever innovates in what? In your farm? No. In planting dates? Grafting dates? In what you do for a livelihood? In what clothing you put on? No. Fi amrina hadha. Yani fi dinina hadha. Whosoever brings about any new thing in this our religion which does not belong to it. Which does not belong to it, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ يَعْنِي مَرْدُودٌ. It is rejected. It cannot form part of it. And this teaches us the very, very important thing. In order for you to call an action bid'ah, that action must be done on in a manner, in such a manner, that the person or persons who are doing it, they consider it part of the deen of Allah. Then and only then you can call it a bid'ah. Then you can call it a bid'ah. What's the word? Fi amrina, yani ihdathun fi ddeen. Ihdath, bringing about new things in Islam. And what's the other thing? Ma laysa minhu, which was not there. It's not there, you are bringing it. This is why the scholars have indicated to a very, very important point. There is a difference between ihdathun fi ddeen and ihdathun lid deen. Innovating in Islam and innovating for Islam. Two separate things. Fit deen and lit deen. In order to make Islam easy for the people to practice, in order to move with the propagation of Islam from one to the other, it is necessary that you will have to bring about things for the help of Islam to carry it on. That does not necessarily mean you are innovating inside Islam. Two different things, isn't that so? Ihdas lid-din, ihdas fid-din. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, whosoever innovates in our religion, you are bringing into Islam such an action that you think it is part of deen. You think it is connected to deen. You think it has a ruling in deen. You believe it. You propagate it in this manner. When it is not there, that is a bid'ah.